Thank you. Just ask you to please bless Jamie as he brings the word and open our hearts to hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all go ahead and start turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Did y'all hear that? All right, if you're in Miss Helen's class, y'all can go ahead and go. Ready to break? What? How old is that?
Through kindergarten.
Up through kindergarten. Yeah, if you're little, go ahead. Unless you're little and older, then don't go ahead. As long as you're not older than Miss Helen. Anybody qualify? I'm just kidding. All right, y'all there? Luke chapter 18. Everybody there? I hear Bibles turning. I know it'll be up here, but go ahead and open yours too. Luke chapter 18. And if y'all will, bow your heads and we'll pray and then get started. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for everybody that's here. We just ask again that you would be with the mission team as they're coming back and keep them safe, help them to have good travels. And I pray that the seed that they sowed while they were there, you would just water it and let it grow, Father, with other people as they go. Lord, open your word to us this morning. And help us to learn more about you and draw closer to you. Father, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I got to quit. Well, first I was told to introduce myself because we do have a lot of new folks coming. And I'm Jamie. Nice to meet you. All right, so that's me. They call me the youth pastor sometimes. I don't know. You know, it depends. Like my youth are supposed to sit up front and I just had to tell them to come sit up front because sometimes they don't listen too well. Not busting anybody out at all. Nobody. Okay, so, but they did move up. So, everybody doing good this morning?
Yes.
Y'all know, like, every time I preach, we go through this. Everybody doing good this morning?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, Paul Barlow, who's in the back and I hope can hear me, says that it's become a joke to not answer my questions when I ask questions, just to see if I'll say something stupid to get you to answer. So I just asked you two, and you answered both. So Paul was wrong. So thank you all for proving Paul wrong. And Paul, I hope you hear everything I'm saying. All right, Luke chapter 18, we're going to read verses 9 through 14, and then we're going to get started. We're going to look at two different people today, and I hope that through these two people, maybe you identify with one of them, and that maybe God will show you something that he hasn't shown you before. So, Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. He also told the parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple complex to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand and was praying like this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Yo, excuse me, we were up late last night, at Winter Jam. And so my throat's a little scratchy, so if I have to drink, I apologize. So the two people in the story, you got one the Pharisee, you got one the tax collector. Now just to give you a little background on these folks, the Pharisees were the real righteous people who followed the law. They did everything that they were supposed to do all the time. They followed all of God's commands. They did everything to a T and made sure it was done perfectly. And then on the other side, you have a tax collector. And this is Rome that we're talking about. And Roman tax collectors, y'all, they weren't even allowed on the temple grounds in most places because they were hated. And y'all know what tax collectors are, right? Anybody ever heard of the IRS? It's not tax time or anything right now. You know, everybody's like, yeah, I know all about the IRS. They just sent me a bill. So these tax collectors back then were kind of like the IRS. They take all your money and they keep it for themselves. Not that the government does that, but if they did, they would be just like the Roman tax collectors. And so these tax collectors, let's just say you owed Rome $100 in taxes. They would charge you $300. They would keep 100 of it. The chief tax collector would get 100 of it. And then Rome would get 100 of it. But you actually only owed $100. And so they would cheat you out of your money to make themselves rich. Anybody know somebody like that? Don't raise your hand for that. You're like, oh, I'm sitting next to him. Somebody really did that. They were like, this guy right here. No. Totally kidding. So here's this Pharisee guy. We're going to look at him first, okay? And I love this story because it rings so true to me personally and just kind of the journey that I've been through in church. And I was raised in a church that was real legal. Legalistic would be the right word there. It was you did the law just like you were supposed to, and if you broke one and died, you were going to hell, period, the end. That was it. And so it was very legalistic, and that's the way I came up. And I was scared of God. I was scared to death of God. I was scared to look at God because I thought he was just going to stab me with his pitchfork, and that was going to be the end of it because he didn't like me because I couldn't ever get it right. Okay? And so that was kind of the view I had of God. And it reminds me of these Pharisees because here's this Pharisee. He comes in, y'all. And did you notice the first thing that it said? Did y'all notice first, what's the first thing he did? He comes in and what did he do? Two men went up to pray and the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee did what? He stood up. Where did he stand up? In the back, the front, the middle, the side? Yes. Okay. Paul might be right. Where's Paul? Paul, you might be right. So this is what he does, okay? He gets up front. No, excuse his tissue. He gets up front in front of the whole church, okay? This is just a baptistry. It's not an altar. I'm not desecrating anything. Miss Kidd, I'll watch this when we're done. So he gets up in front of the church, and he raises his hands and looks up towards heaven, and he goes, God, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like these people out here. Such sinners they are. Adulterers and unrighteous, greedy people. And Lord, anybody a tax person in here? Anybody? Come on, man, admit to it. Anybody a tax person? Anybody ever done taxes for somebody before? Come on, let me pick on you, man. Come on, thank you. Coach Curry's going to let me pick on him. Thank you, Coach. So he's praying. He's like, Lord, thank you. I'm not like these people, and especially Coach Curry over there, this tax collector. This horrible person, he's really a good dude. This horrible guy over here. God, thank you, I'm not like them. Lord, you know everything that I do. I pray when I'm supposed to pray. Lord, I tithe on everything that I have. If I grow mint in my garden, I give you 10% of it. God, I follow all the rules and all the laws. Man, I'm so glad you need me. It's basically what this guy prays, okay? That's a good prayer, right? No. No. Man, who was that prayer all about?
Him.
Him. Who was he praying to?
God.
Hey, he was praying to himself. He says God, but he was praying to himself. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like them. I thank you that I don't do these things. That prayer is all about him. It's all about him showing everybody else how good he is and how awesome he is. That's why I love Big John. That's why we go to church here, y'all, because Big John, he's just real honest about it. He was like, yeah, suck it, life. Pretty much. Y'all ever heard him say that? Tell me I'm lying. He said it before. Okay? That's why we like coming to church here, because our pastor sucks at life. So... I'm just kidding. I know he's going to listen to this later, and that's why I said that. Really, no. He comes up here and he's like, look, I'm not perfect, y'all. I sin. The same thing with me and everybody else. We all sin. None of us are perfect. And that really is why we came to church here in the first place, because we don't have any of these folks that jump up and they're like, look at me, I'm better than everybody else, and I'm so good and awesome, and man, you just wish you could be like me one day. But that's what you get from this Pharisee. You get the idea that he's just got it all together, man. He's got it all going for him. Nothing is wrong in his life. Nothing at all. Anybody here do puzzles? Anybody like to put puzzles together? Dude, that is so many more people than I thought it was going to be. Thank y'all so much. I'm not the only nerd. So I love doing puzzles because it calms me down. Okay? You know, I don't know what some people are like. You're frustrated. All the pieces look the same. But they don't. It's that little detail in that piece that you have to find that makes it different from the other ones. And that to me is awesome. I know that's making some of y'all's brains hurt right now. But that to me is so much fun when you do what I have to do every single day at a middle school. Anyway, God bless you middle school people and their parents. So I love doing puzzles, and any of y'all, when y'all do the puzzle, any of y'all start with the edges, like you do the edge first? You guys, like everybody that raised their hand raised it first? Okay, so you start with the edges because it gives you a good idea of what the puzzle is going to look like, right? And then you kind of know where to go from there. But there can also be a problem with that, okay? So here's a puzzle, and there's the edges, okay? That's a great-looking puzzle, isn't it?
No.
Why not? I worked hard on this puzzle. It's still not beautiful?
No.
Why is it not?
Because
oh, because there's no heart of the puzzle. Okay. So it's not there. It's missing. So, but you get an idea that it's going to be a nice looking puzzle when it's done, right? So the edges actually look pretty good. It's kind of like the Pharisees. They look really good on the outside. But what's going on in the inside? Ain't nothing but a big old hole. Okay, that's right. So y'all, I call the Pharisees the edges. They're the edges. They've got a nice looking exterior, but it's all about showing everybody else how good they are and how awesome they are. So let's go to the tax collector. Let's look at him real quick. And before we do, Mr. Burt's going to cue up a song. Y'all, I don't recommend listening to this song, but when I think of Pharisees, this is what I think about. That is not a good song to play in church. I'm just saying, if you didn't understand what they said so fresh and so clean, clean. And that's what I think about when I think about Pharisees. Man, it's just all about looking fresh and clean. Being on fleek, as the kids tell me sometimes. I don't even know what that means. Fleek. What is fleek? That's not even a word. Okay? Whatever. Back when I was growing up, it was fresh. Hey, man, you look fresh today. Now it's fleek. Like, what is, kids just make stuff up. I don't know. I guess we probably did too. So you got the Pharisees. They're so fresh and so clean, clean. Now let's look at the tax collector in verse 13. We'll read it again to remind you what was going on because you might not remember. It says, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. And so in our first prayer that we had the Pharisee that was standing up front and he was praying for everybody to hear him. And in our second prayer, we have a guy who literally stands at the very back so that nobody can really see him that well. And he doesn't look up, because back then when they prayed, what they would do was look up to heaven and raise their arms, but he doesn't do that. He says he couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, so he's kind of standing like this, and he's in the very back, and he's standing there, and he starts beating his chest, and he's just beating his chest, and he cries out, and he says, Lord, turn your wrath from me, I'm a sinner. Now, who was he praying to?
God.
Right. Now, a couple of things in there that we need to know. Number one, you've got the Pharisee, I'm sorry. Number one, you've got the Pharisee who comes up front and he stands up and he wants everybody to see him and hey, y'all look at me and all this stuff, right? And then number two, you've got the guy, he comes to the back. Because this guy knows it's not about him. It's got nothing to do with me. He knows it's all about God. And so he keeps his distance from where they perceive God to be, which would be at the front where the Pharisee was. And the second thing that he does, that y'all, this is really important for the rest of the story, is he doesn't even lift his eyes to heaven. Y'all, the weight of his sin has him so broken and burdened down that he can't even look up. He knows that in himself he's not a good dude. He knows that he needs somebody to save him and help him, and he's just looking down and he's broken and he's burdened and he can't look up towards heaven, and he starts beating his chest, which y'all know anything about that. You've probably read it at other points in the Bible. When you beat your chest, it's a sign of like mourning. It's a sign of grief. In other words, this dude is at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. He's like a puzzle you haven't even started yet. It's just a bunch of pieces. He's just broken apart, torn apart, and just a whole bunch of pieces. There could be something really pretty in this bag, but we'll never know until it gets put together. And that's how this tax collector was. And so he's back there and he's praying and he says, "Lord, turn your wrath from me." And y'all, here's the key. What do they always say? The first step to recovery is what? Admitting you have a problem. "Lord, turn your wrath from me, eh?" Yeah. This is the part you fill in the blank. "Lord, turn your wrath from me, eh?"
Sinner.
So he admits what he is. "God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've fallen short." And the Bible tells us very clearly that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody that has ever lived from Adam and Eve until the last dude that's born has sinned, will sin, is going to sin, whatever you want to do, fill in the blank there. They've done it. The Bible makes that very clear. It also makes it very clear that because we've sinned, what do we deserve because of that sin? The wages of sin is death. I love God's butt, y'all. We talked about God's butt a couple weeks ago in Sunday school. And they kind of looked at me funny like, "God's butt?" Kind of like y'all just did. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this sinner, this tax collector, he experienced that day because he goes to the back. He's by himself. He doesn't want anybody to see him. He doesn't care if anybody hears him. And he's beating his chest and he's probably weeping, if I had to guess. And he says, "Lord, turn your wrath from me, man. I'm just a dirty sinner." And there's a song that comes to mind for him too. It's a third day song. We sing it, "Cry Out to Jesus." And in that song it says, "He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus." So let's look again in verse 14. Verse 14, just to remind you what it says. Jesus says, "I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, if you look up the word humble, it also means broken. So if you're broken and humble before the Lord, what will he do for you? It says he will justify you. Now, that word justify throws people off sometimes, I know, because I've had a lot of conversations about that word where people just didn't understand what it meant. And all justify means is that somebody else has declared you free. Somebody else has said, "You are free, you are innocent, you may leave." Now, how does God justify us? In this verse, it says, the one that humbles himself. So in other words, because that tax collector went to the back, got down maybe even on his knees, bent over, beat his chest, and yelled out to God, "Turn your wrath from me, I'm just a dirty sinner," that he was justified that day. Now, Jesus tells the Pharisees very clearly he was the only one justified. But watch this now. The Pharisee was justified too. Who justified the Pharisee?
Himself.
He was justified by himself. Remember him standing up? "I thank you that I'm so much better than these people. I thank you that I don't do the things that they do. I thank you that I do all these things for you." And he justified himself. But the other guy allowed himself to be justified by Christ. And so, guys, it's really simple. This is what it boils down to. And I promised everybody I would keep this message very short today and simple, because I owed y'all like 30 minutes from the last three messages combined. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to do better. Y'all thought I forgot. Now, I'll never forget stuff, except important stuff sometimes. So, y'all, here it is. There was a man, and his name was Jesus. And he left perfection in heaven to come to earth, to live for 33 years, and then to die for our sins. He died a horrible, painful death on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again. And because of that, we can be justified through his blood. And that when God looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees his Son. And so my question for you is this. Today, are you maybe like this tax collector and you're just broken? Man, you're just a bunch of pieces because life is just, it's just whacked you smack in the face, like running out in front of a bus and just knocked you into pieces. And you're not quite sure whether you can keep going or not. You're just tired, you're worn out, man, you're ready to give up. Or perhaps, maybe you need to be broken today. Maybe you're like the Pharisee. And boy, you think everything is great on the outside. And maybe you need God to say, yeah, not so much. Not so much. And you need him to tear you apart, piece by piece. So that he can do what he does and put the heart into the puzzle. Because when he puts the heart into the puzzle, all of a sudden you have a full, beautiful picture. So perhaps you need for God to break you today. Perhaps you are broken already. Now I know you're wondering, how in the world did that puzzle not fall apart when he picked it up? What did I do to it? Oh man, y'all are so good. I can't even wait to talk to Paul afterwards. Yeah, I did. I put glue on it. And y'all know God is so awesome, right? Yes. Yes. Three people know God is awesome. Okay, turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's start from the beginning. Okay, do y'all know that God is awesome?
Yes.
Okay, man, God is awesome. He's so awesome that before he even sent Jesus, before he even made this thing called the world, he like had this plan already. He had this plan in place, and he had such an awesome plan in place that he put glue inside of us. Okay? He put glue inside of us, and don't go yet till I give you the boom right there, okay? So, y'all, this is it right here. This is like the wham, bam, bam. I don't know what it's called. That's what I say to Caroline, whatever. I don't know. So, this is it right here. God had a plan for us. He knew that our body would fall apart if there wasn't something to hold it together. So, he actually put a protein inside of us that is like glue. It holds us together. Without this protein inside of us, our body would literally just fall apart. That's what this protein does. It holds us together. The name of the protein is called laminin. It's called laminin. And if you were a scientist and you looked at this, when you looked at laminin, the glue that holds you together, this is what it looks like. What is that? Man, it's a cross. You don't, really?
What shape is that?
Okay, thank you. That is a cross, man. So before God even started this whole thing, he already put Christ inside of us to hold us together. How awesome is that? So that we're not just the edges and we're not just pieces, but we're actually the whole entire puzzle. The edges and the pieces and all of it put together. We're the whole thing, man. Because God is awesome like that. And he did it through his Son. And he'll do it for you too. All you have to do is ask him. So if you will, bow your head. And I just ask you to close your eyes so that you're not distracted by those around you. And there's two really important questions we need to ask ourselves today. And that first question is, am I broken? Am I in need of a Savior to put me back together? To set me on the right path so I can be this beautiful and wonderful creation He's made me to be? And that second question, man, have I gotten a little full of myself and forgotten what Christ did for me? Do I need Him to break me and build me back up and mold me? And I pray if that's you, that you would find you a place where it's just you and God. Just you and God. And you don't have to beat yourself on the chest, but you can. You don't have to yell and scream, but you can. And just lay it all out there for Him. And I promise you, when you do, man, He will put you back together into something more awesome and beautiful than you ever thought you could be. Lord, I thank You this morning for Your word. I thank You for the people that are here. And I pray that You would be moving in the hearts and minds of each one, God. Especially those that came in just weighed down by their sin, just thinking, man, I've gone too far. There's nothing He can do for me. Ah, but man, it doesn't matter how far we go. Lord, You'll save us. You'll forgive us. You died on the cross for us. And You'll put us back together. Father, I pray that You would move in the hearts and minds of those that maybe we've gotten a little strayed away from You. And we've forgotten that it's all about You. And I pray that You would break us down, Lord, and make us and mold us into what You want us to be. Father, I thank You, and I give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just ask you while they sing this song, just keep your head bowed, keep your eyes closed, and just listen to the words and let the Lord do what He's going to do in you.
You're the one who holds it all.
I think they peeked at my notes before they chose that song. Pretty sure. But I didn't leave him up there this time. That was perfect, y'all. He is the king of our world, isn't he? Amen. If the ushers will, go ahead and come up. And we'll take up the morning offering, your tithes, offerings, whatever you have. Just empty it out, you know, whatever. I wonder if I challenged everybody to, like, empty their wallet, if they would. What do you think? Probably not. I don't know. Especially if you just got your paycheck. If you just got paid and you cashed it, empty your wallet for the Lord this morning. Totally kidding, y'all. Totally kidding. Pay your tithes, your normal offerings. Y'all bow your head. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word this morning. Man, you're doing awesome stuff here in Grenada in Christ Community. I pray that you would continue to do that. I pray that all of this money that is taken up this morning will be used for your glory. Every penny of it, God, will not be wasted in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, it's on now? Okay. Hello. Y'all give the Lord a hand clap. Now, I need you to do one more thing. I want you to turn around to the sound booth, look at Paul Barlow, and go, boom! Just like that. That's right. That's my guy, Paul. He has no idea what I'm talking about. He couldn't hear anything I was saying out there. We love you, Paul. Thank you for everything that you do. We love you guys. Thank y'all for everything that you do. There is a children's program next Sunday right after worship. So if you have children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren or maybe you were on the boat with Noah, then come and see the children after worship next Sunday. That's the only announcement I know of that wasn't said earlier. So I love y'all. Thank y'all so much for letting Big John be your pastor. And we'll pray out. Lord, thank you again for your word this morning. I thank you for all these folks that are here. And I pray that you would just move in each and every one of us, God. And help us in everything that we do to draw closer to you in that relationship with you. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready? Break.